I believe the union goes first.
I am, Your Honor. I'm Donald C. Carroll, on behalf of the defendant and appellant, the Board of Trustees of the Southern California IBEW NECA Pension Trust. I'd like to reserve 2 minutes, please. The basic question here is whether a result that all parties, including the trial court, feels is exceedingly strange and I contend is absurd, is compelled by the plain meaning, quote unquote, of the words of
Well, tell us a different way of construing it, you know.
Pardon me?
You guys drafted the language.
We did indeed.
Whoever drafted that language should be sent back to school, eh?
Yes. We agree.
And in fact, it was fixed. Huh?
And it was fixed.
So, why aren't you thanking Mr. Brown for a valuable lesson, cheaply administered?
Because the trustees, the men on both sides of the bargaining table who feel that they understand the industry, felt that the result here was one that they never intended. And they found in the language of 9.8C14 the ability to interpret those discrete subsections in a manner that produced a coherent
Okay, why don't you explain it to me? Electrical contractor. I have the language right in front of me.
The word
how other than through wishful thinking do you get that to be an employee?
You do it through looking at the context of that language, and looking at it you will find in addition to talking about an electrical contractor who does things like bidding for work and contracting for work, etc., that the parties have also included concepts in there that they are going to treat as an electrical contractor, even though they are not typically done by an electrical contractor, such as leasing equipment or leasing buildings or seeking work.
Well, wait a minute. Stop right there. I've dealt with lots of contractors, and they always leasing equipment. They lease cement trucks. They lease drilling equipment. They lease water pumps. They lease porta potties. So don't tell me about contractors. You know, I paid for all those things, and so I know that contractors lease equipment.
Well, the
I had 8 parties in my house, and they had to go lease a. I had to go pay for them to have a porta potty.
Well, fortunately, we didn't include that language in the.
But it says, I mean, you said this is stuff that contractors don't do. But you do. Well, but in fact, leasing equipment is at the heart of what contractors do.
Well, not always. And a person who leases equipment.
Well, not every contractor does everything that any contractor does.
I think you're missing one thing here. It's the individual who does the leasing of the equipment for another, for a company. That individual. Simply because he or she is out there doing the leasing of equipment or of property is going to be treated by my clients as a contractor just because they're doing that leasing activity. That's the breadth of this language. And so the language is not capable of being interpreted as the reasonable man would, as you just suggested. Trial court, as you know, went off and looked at the California
Look, government. I'm looking at this language saying, look, this is somebody who can't be employed as an electrical contractor. Contractor being a guy who's a contractor, who's an independent contractor. You know, we even have a term in the law, including, and then it lists a bunch of the kind of things that contractors do.
Right.
That I have seen contractors do. I've seen them do every one of those things. There isn't a single thing on here that you would say an employee would do, but a contractor wouldn't do. You wouldn't say, oh, you know, there is something about filling out timesheets, which you might say, well, only an employee fills out timesheets or punches time cards. Contractors don't do it. But there isn't a single thing on there that some contractors or normal contractors, many of them or most of them, don't do.
Well,
though that's inconsistent with the status of being a contractor, as that term is understood.
My clients didn't feel that their understanding of a contractor was one who leased buildings or leased equipment. They might do work in these buildings.
Well, they're just wrong. Your clients obviously don't have much experience in the business because we all know that contractors lease equipment. You're not going to stand there and tell me different, are you? You have lots of experience dealing with contractors. Is it your experience that contractors don't lease equipment?
Some don't lease equipment.
Well, of course, there are some who don't do electrical work either.
No.
There's some contractors that just serve in the position of responsible managing employee, and they just let them use their license. And then the rest of them go out and do, they get jobs hustling around, and they supervise the work, and they do labor work.
That's right.
Yeah.
It covers a lot of things. My clients were faced with a situation.
But if you're talking about a contractor, you're talking about someone who's got a state license.
That's right.
As a contractor in a certain area of the construction business.
There's a discrete subsection, a different one than Judge Kaczynski's calling my attention to. It's the first one that talks about an individual holding a C-10 license. C-10 license is the basic license for electrical construction work here in California. Not the only one, but it's the basic one.
But you can be a contractor without having a C-10 license.
You can do electrical contracting work without a C-10 license. My only point is it's the basic one. It's the most common one. That was the testimony.
But that doesn't help you. That doesn't help you any.
No, I wasn't suggesting it was. I was simply trying to point out to
you're suggesting it even though it doesn't help you any?
No, I'm simply trying to be responsive.
Your time is ticking.
I was trying to be responsive.
Why don't you come up with something that helps you?
Well, what I would like to come up with here is the plea for my client's ability to try to determine their own rules in a manner that's coherent.
But they can, and that's why they have complete control. They can make up the rules, they can draft them, they can revise them, and they did revise them. So there's no one tying your client's hands, but when they come up with language that they have complete 100% unfettered control over, and that affects the rights of other people, it seems to me that they're entitled to be held to it.
Well, I would disagree that it really does some great injustice to Mr. Brown. You will remember under the facts here that Mr. Brown signed some documents when he applied for this early retirement benefit, in which he said that he would not engage in this type of activity, irrespective of this particular definition, without telling us. He didn't do so. He had a prior experience at UCLA where he found out that he had to be careful, but he might lose.
You know, this doesn't help you any. If you want to sue him because he didn't tell you, because he breached some sort of other agreement, that's another case. It's another argument. I don't remember any briefing on that issue. So trying to make him out to be a bad guy because he violated some other agreement that he hasn't had a chance to argue about doesn't really help your case any here. If you think you've got some other, if you did something else wrong, then you could have.
We're not interested in that. We're just simply interested.
No, but you are interested. You're raising it. You know, you're raising it here, and trying to help yourself with this argument. It's not fair. It's not fair to be raising some other violation of some other provision that opposing counsel hasn't had a chance to brief, that the district court didn't have a chance to consider. We don't know anything about that.
Well, I'm not aware that counsel has asserted that we raised something that wasn't raised below.
What bearing does that have on this provision?
I'm sorry, Judge.
What bearing does that have, the thing you just argued, have on that he did notify, didn't notify?
That there's no injustice to him. We didn't spring something on him that should not have been expected by him. You had suggested to me in your question that we might have been guilty of doing that. And I was simply trying to say, no, I don't believe we have done anything that was unfair to him.
Well, you're trying to change the terms of the contract after
he relied
on it to his detriment.
We don't see it that way, and we don't believe we were irrational. And that's That's the only thing we can plead for here in front of you.
I think the term is abusive.
Pardon me?
I think the term is abusive.
Abusive?
Abuse of discretion, I think is the term. You've got 2 seconds. No, actually, you're into negative numbers. Why don't we see what else there is. Thank you. Your time's up.
I've used my time.
Good morning, Your Honors. John St. John for Mr. Brown. First of all, just in case you were wondering why I've got this beanie on here, I had surgery yesterday.
We thought it was Passover.
Yeah, so it looks... Anyway, I wanted to address what you said, Judge Parkinson, just to follow up on that.
What surgery did you have?
It was a scalp surgery. I had this cancer up here.
Oh.
That, doctor says I can no longer wear visors, you know, because I got balls, but it's a sun damage.
Oh, yeah.
But hopefully it's okay, so... Anyway, I was going to follow up on what she said. We're in the last stage of 14 months, been out of our house on a house remodel. It's supposed to have been 10 months. But I learned a lot about contractors, and there are two kinds of contractors. There are those that work with their hands, the general contractors that work with their hands, and the ones that just arrange for the work. And those are called by my contractor, who works with his hands, disparagingly as paper contractors. So it's interesting how, yes, there are different kinds of contractors do different kinds of stuff. Anyway, just I want to briefly address what Counsel had said about...
And a lot of them say they're contractors and don't have a license.
That is true. That is true. You've got to be careful about that. I want to address briefly what Counsel had said about Mr. Brown perhaps not being truthful. You should have been aware that he was working someone in the electrical construction contract industry. Remember that the record shows that he submitted the form in July of 2003, which disclosed that he was working for Siemens. He put on there exactly what he was doing. The only reason why Siemens is deemed to be an electrical contractor is because it has a C10 license. Mr. Brown certainly wasn't aware of that. It has something to do with something, as the record shows, I think they make fire alarm systems, and somehow they have to have a C10 license in connection with that. But that had nothing to do with Mr. Brown. So he was, you know, as he said in the hearing, administrative hearing, he had no idea that Siemens would be considered an electrical contractor. It's basically a manufacturing company. So I don't think he was really trying to get away with something, or it was really a surprise to him to find out that the trust considered him to be working for an electrical contractor. But anyway, I want to point
out. But anyway, we're not in equity, we're in law.
Pardon me?
We're not in equity, we're in law.
Excuse me, I can't hear you.
We are, in any event, we are not in equity.
Yes.
We are in law.
That is correct.
I'm always in equity.
There is something to that. There is something.
Yeah, that is true. But I think it's really important here to understand why.
That's why Judge Pregerson is referred to as the Chancellor.
That's right.
And the quarterback.
Thank you.
And I wanted to focus on I think it's important here to focus on the sequence of events. How this all unfolded. How could it possibly come to the point where they're considering him to be a contractor? And you start out with back in 2005. The trust sends them this notice, and they said, look, you're going to suspend your benefits for 2 reasons. One, you're working in what's called suspendable employment, and the other is you're working for a non-union contractor. Well, the suspendable employment thing, that went away pretty quickly because the trust had adopted an amendment in 2003, which is the extended suspendable employment. It's working the same trade across, same geographic area. They had taken that, which is always applied to regular retirees, extended it to early retirees. But that was in 2003, and it was quite clear it didn't apply to Mr. Brown. So then we all focused on this thing about non-union employment. And we had our hearing. Trustees were kind enough to keep the hearing open to see if we could find whether Siemens was in fact a party to an IBEW contract somewhere in the United States that caused them to contribute to a LECA-related plan, meaning a big defined benefit plan like the trust fund is. And it took several weeks to find out, back in New Jersey, there are these three collective bargaining agreements that Siemens has, which does require contributions. That was a surprise to everybody, myself included. I didn't think we'd ever find that. But we did. And the trust verified that. And then, as they said, they agreed in their decision, or I said the appeals committee agreed in their decision that, you know, that falls within the LICA-related plan caveat, and therefore Mr. Brown can't be working in non-union employment. And I think by that time, the train had traveled so far down the track, they had made up their minds that they were going to suspend his benefits and had to find some basis in the plan to do it, so they latched onto the working as a contractor exception. Obviously, he's not working as a contractor. He can't be both a contractor and an employee at the same time. The evidence is quite clear, and they don't dispute the fact that at all periods of time here, he was working as an employee for Siemens. He's never been a contractor. So, I mean, it's just, as I said, I think it's got to the point where they had made up their mind.
He gets a normal paycheck?
Yes, sure.
And they deduct taxes?
Oh, yes.
And Social Security and all
sure.
that?
Sure. This is W-2, just like every other.
But they don't deduct for union.
No, he's not a member of the union.
Because he's retired.
That's correct.
Okay. And it's not a union job anyway, right?
It's not a union job anyway.
He's
programming these devices which control heating and air ventilation. Probably got one here in the courtroom that controls.
Don't remind us.
No. We could use
it. It might go out of whack if we pass it.
So and again.
Actually, this one here works pretty well. too well, some of my colleagues tell me.
I think, you know, the argument that counsel is making is that it's sort of like, well, if you look at 9.8C1 as a whole, you take
I think
you
we got
the
it.
Spirit of the thing. That,
I think we got it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Case Asagi will stand submitted.
Well, I'll tell you this about the ERISA contract.